Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for, was it already October the 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2018, hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers on your radio. All right, cool. Let's let it rock and roll then. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. They're already talking about, well, they're talking about the midterm elections, as you know.
Yeah.
But they're already talking about the presidential election now, too, for 2020. Mm-hmm. They're talking about how much Donald's already raised for it. They're talking about the Democrats gearing up. The Democrats are already positioning names. I'm a little bit fearful that the Democrats are going to have what the Republicans had in 16, which was basically, as far as I can tell, you know, a gazillion contenders. And so all the, I don't know what you want to call it, focus will be on that side of the equation a little bit. Some are even saying Hillary's going to come back and beat the Donald. It can be done easily, they claim. So all that's in the mix. But I want to take a step back a little bit, Kurt. Because I don't really want to focus on all the controversy and all the confusion and all the what ifs and all the, okay. What I want to do is take a step back and look at a WorldNet Daily article because, I believe they're into solutions as we are. And there's a question that said, how would Jesus want us to vote? Five guidelines written by Rita Dunaway. And it's a very good article. And at first, when I saw the headline, I'm just kind of like, oh, boy, now someone's going to tell me what Jesus would do as if they know for sure. But as I learn more about her column, I think it's very, very, very wise. Now, Rita's a constitutional attorney, Kurt. Do you have any details on her?
No, I don't. I mean, at least Rita.
All right, so the details are interesting about her.
Okay.
She's a constitutional lawyer. Her commentaries are featured regularly on the Blaze.com
like
and other
Sam.
News websites, including WND.com.
Yeah.
Now, she encourages state legislators to use their constitutional authority to restore the robust federal system designed by the Constitution, which means states have most of the rights. Federal has limited delegated responsibilities given to it by the states and by the people, respectively. Anyway, she does a phenomenal job, and I appreciate her position on this. And she's got an interesting story here. Do you got this article, Kurt? Let's talk about this in detail.
Yep. She says, I was recently invited to attend a three-person dialogue on theology and politics. How would Jesus vote? The question immediately intrigued me, and I made plans to attend, but I decided that before I heard what the three speakers had to say, I should stop to think through how I would answer. Here's what I came up with on what I think is the more useful question. How would Jesus want us to vote? She says, first of all, generally speaking, I think Jesus certainly would want us to vote. Civil government was ordained by God, and we know that Jesus taught his disciples to fulfill their duty toward it. For instance, when questioned about paying taxes, he told his followers to render, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. She says that's in Matthew 12:21, by the way. As Americans, our duty toward government goes far beyond paying taxes, because in America, our government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. In other words, because we enjoy the right of self-governance, we have a corresponding duty to thoughtfully select those who will sit at our nation's control panel, exercising power on our behalf. Our vote is both a resource of which we have the responsibility to be good stewards and an instrument through which we can be salt and light in our culture. In considering how Jesus would want us to vote, my first conviction is that he would want us to look for wise men and women of godly character. We learn from the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we know that a genuine faith in God combined with a certain humility about his or her own standing in relation to God is a crucial characteristic of a wise leader. Another scripture providing guidance as to the personal character of a godly leader is the well-known Micah 6:8, which instructs us that God requires us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God, with your God. So we should be looking for candidates who are humble, deeply committed to justice, but also personally kind and gracious toward others. Because God ordained civil government, the author continues, with a particular role in mind, I think Jesus would want us to consider how each candidate views the role of government. The Bible reveals a God who designed society to live in a certain order rather than chaos, and that order requires that different institutions play different roles and carry different responsibilities. Among these institutions are the family, the church, and voluntary associations. Government is only one of them, and it was meant to play a limited role in human society. According to the Bible, that role involves providing physical protection and administering justice among the people by punishing wrongdoers. It does not involve being the source to which citizens look for all their basic needs. It does not involve regulating mundane aspects of their everyday lives. Sam, looks like you got a couple more paragraphs. What do you you want to comment?
Yeah,
so far?
I love this, number one, because I think what she does before she tells you every detail of how the voting, sown throughout this is an understanding of the proper role of government, that governments are ordained among men to bless God's children. And it's important to understand that. You know, a lot of the people believe that, hey, everybody would be anti-government. God's anti-government, and you should be anti-government too. And any government that isn't God's government is evil government. And see, I don't believe that. Now, I believe that a lot of government is evil. There's no question. When government doesn't follow its proper role, I believe government's evil. I agree. But at the same time, I do believe that governments are instituted among men to bless the children of God and to protect the children of God. And that government, which is good government, that relates to the proper role of government, we need to embrace and support. And I think this article does a very, very good job at articulating that, Kurt. That's separate from the five voting points. And it documents, in my mind, our relationship to God, to Jesus Christ, and to how we ought to look at government. Government can be a wonderful blessing, Kurt. And that's the way God intended it. Let's be clear on that understanding first, right? I think that's really important to focus on and to understand. And I'm convinced that people don't really realize the significance of that, Kurt.
Amen to that.
So I wanted to spend time on that first, and that's why I really don't usually believe in reading long pieces on the radio. It's kind of boring just to hear somebody read. But in this case, though, the points are so well made by this female attorney, constitutional attorney, I might add, that I had to focus on it. I had to say, look, there's real value here.
Now, do you want these last two?
Yes,
questions?
I do. And then I want to talk about those 5 points.
All right. Says, in the United States, I think Jesus would want us to consider the willingness of candidates to abide by the Constitution. Our Constitution describes the extent to which we, the people, have ceded some of our God-given liberties to the federal government, allowing it to perform some functions beyond protecting us and administering justice. Governing officials, like everyone else, must demonstrate a willingness to live under proper authority. Moreover, each elected official is required to take an oath promising to support and defend the Constitution. So a candidate who demonstrates either a lack of knowledge or understanding of the Constitution or an unwillingness to be bound by its precepts is probably unworthy of the public trust. After all, how can we trust someone who promises to support and defend something he or she doesn't know, understand, or respect? The life and words of Jesus reveal a person who cares deeply for human beings of all races, genders, ages, socioeconomic statuses, religious backgrounds, marital statuses, and health conditions. So I know he would want us to choose public officials who cherish all human life. Protecting life is a fundamental reason why civil government exists. So any candidate who is cavalier about the value of or dignity of any human life lacks an essential qualification for public office. Final couple of sentences.
Now let me stop you there. This is why tuned. I wanted to read this, though. She hammers on the vital point of pro-life. If we don't defend life, Kurt, there's no point of government, my friend.
Great point. Then she says, stay tuned for next week's column to find out how three individuals from various religions or religious and political backgrounds answer the fascinating question, how would Jesus vote?
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to cover her 5 points. What's her name again, Kurt?
Rita Dunaway.
Rita Dunaway, fantastic column in WND.com. We'll talk about it.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby breaking it down just for you. We're talking about how would Jesus vote. Incredible column, Rita Dunaway, WND.com, breaking it down and talking about the importance of the proper role of government. She just finished this paragraph we talked about pro-life and the importance of protecting life. In my humble opinion, that's one of the very few reasons that government exists and ought to exist. And to carry out that mission is vitally important to the proper role of limited constitutional, moral, God-given government. Now, I know people would mock me and say, God-given government? What are you talking about? I believe God gave us government. It's instituted among men for the protection of those who give their proper consent to the legitimate proper role of government. Anyway, we digress. Rita finishes, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, she finishes basically and says, how would Jesus vote? And so she's got this thing, like you said, she highlights this idea of the vital protection of and cherishing of human life, all human life, not just, certain colors or anything like that. She breaks this thing down into five sections. I don't know if you call them paragraphs or whatever, but
they're mainly five points that are explained in detail. In other words, she makes the point, and then she gives kind of the background of why that point's vital, either biblically or et cetera, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. I'm just looking through there as I pulled it over into Microsoft Word. It's got the five sections. She said, first of all, generally speaking, I think Jesus certainly would want us to vote. Now, there's certain people who disagree with that, right, Sam?
Yes, there are. But what do you say, Kurt? I think that Jesus would want us to vote. And the point is, she spends the time explaining why she thinks that, Kurt. She talks about rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's, meaning pay taxes. Mm-hmm. She talks about a lot of the detail about, our responsibility as Christians to vote. One of the ideas is if government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed, as the Declaration of Independence articulates, then we must give our consent by our votes. And if we choose not to vote, we're not giving any consent, Kurt. And then how can government have any just powers at all? But anyway,
I agree with her. And
she articulates this very well, is why I bring it up. Yeah. She really does.
And one man, Ezra Taft Benson, who I agree with his counsel about this, he says, we must make our influence felt by our vote. So that's, voting. Our letters and our advice, we must be wisely informed and let others know how we feel. We must take part in local precinct meetings and select delegates who will truly represent our feelings. Anyway, doesn't mean you just go vote. You got a little bit more to do with it. She says in the number two section here, it says, in considering how Jesus would want us to vote, my first conviction is that he would want us to look for wise men and women of godly character. What do you say about that?
Give me the summary again, or give me the headline.
Well, she says, my first conviction is that talking about Jesus, would want us to look for wise men and women of godly character.
So let me stop you there. And I think we need to look for good, honest, and wise men. But I agree with the point completely. Because, again, those leaders can dictate policy or advocate for policy. Those leaders can either suck off the wealth and the stability and the safety of Americans, or they can protect that. They can either work with their own hands and serve in government kindly and peacefully and appropriately, or they can become a problem to society, a burden around society's neck, so to speak. And so it's critical what leaders we get. We ought to search for good, honest, wise men and women to serve us. And they ought to look at it as a service position, not a career advancement opportunity. So I completely concur. Anyway, the reason I said what, give me the headline, because I agree with that part. Next one.
And in just before we go there real quick, in the related scripture, at least from the same book that I was reading before, the Constitution, a Heavenly Banner, he quotes the counsel of the Lord that he agrees with. He says, I, the Lord God, make you free. Therefore, ye are free indeed, and the law also maketh you free. Nevertheless, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Wherefore, honest men and wise men should be sought for diligently, and good men and wise men ye should observe to uphold. Otherwise, whatsoever is less than these cometh of evil. And I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall forsake all evil and cleave unto all good, that ye shall live by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. Anyway,
you got to tell people where that scripture is, because folks are searching their Bibles now, Kurt.
Well, it's in what we call the Doctrine and Covenants, which is an additional book of Scripture to the Bible.
There you go. So when you say we, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints members believe that book to be Scripture. So Kurt's calling it Scripture, and you know you can find out if you believe it's Scripture yourself. The best recommendation I could give is for you to read it and then to pray about it, and you can know yourself. But the point is, though, that, hey, we ought to search for good and honest wise men, and she uses the Bible to make her points. All right, so her next point?
In number three, it says, because God ordained civil government with a particular role in mind, I think Jesus would want us to consider how each candidate views the role of government.
And let me stop you there, and this is where we jettison partisan politics, Kurt, and we look at someone's character, someone's intent, someone's desires. How do they view the proper role of government? If you listen to this program very long, you know full well how I view the proper role of government. They tell you that I'm anti-government, and you know they lie. I back and support the proper role of limited constitutional government with my life. At the same time, I reject rogue government that wants to change the affairs of the government to their advantage. I reject that. So I am against, anti, whatever you want to say, the violation of the proper role of government. Absolutely. But when they say that I'm anti-government, they lie. I'm as pro-proper role of limited government as you can get. I believe in this Declaration of Independence idea that says, hey, government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. But we only consent when they obey the rule of law, when they don't use the laws against us, but they use the laws to protect us. Offensive government's abhorrent. Defensive government is wonderful. And so I like the proper role of government. I'm an advocate of the supreme law that sets up the government, which is the Constitution. How can I be anti-government, Kurt? Anyway, how would Jesus want us to vote?
Point.
Five guidelines written by Rita Dunaway, WND.com. What's the next one, Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Number four says, in the United States, I think Jesus would want us to consider the willingness of candidates to abide by the Constitution. I couldn't agree more.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's number five?
Yeah, number five says the life and words of Jesus reveal a person who cares deeply for human beings of all races, genders, ages, socioeconomic statuses, religious backgrounds, marital statuses, and health conditions. So I know he would want us to choose public officials who cherish all human life.
See how much she's on that life issue, ladies and gentlemen? And I said when the Republicans took over, when Donald Trump got elected, when the House and Senate and, you know, all these things where the Republicans, you got to stand for pro-life. Now that we've got Kavanaugh, now that we've got Gorsuch, it's time to quadruple down on the pro-life agenda, Kurt.
Yep. Yep. Couldn't agree more.
It absolutely is. Anyway, her column, in my personal opinion, is brilliant, Kurt. And as we go into the 2018 midterm elections and as we gear up for 2020 and everything becomes attack, 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 violence, divide, conquer, raise money, whatever, I hope we step back a little bit and say, hey, how would Jesus want us to vote? And I got a couple of ideas just in addition to her five main points that I agree with completely, by the way. Her column is brilliant, in my opinion. But I would say this. The reason Jesus would want us to vote, in my humble opinion, and how would he want us to vote? He would want us to vote in this idea. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He would want us to put people in place who would not be full of anger, divisiveness, divide and conquer, say one thing and do another. Etc., etc., etc. He would want us to vote for transparent, humble people who believe their first allegiance is to God, their second allegiance is to spouse and children and family, and their third allegiance is to country. And there should be no agenda that forces a division amongst those three. And we need people to view the proper role of government for what it is. It's a wonderful institution if carried out properly. It's like fire in a fireplace. It's wonderful, and it keeps people warm, lets you cook, and sustains life when it's proper and contained. When you let that dude run out of the fireplace, it is disaster. The sexual relationship is a lot that way, too. under God's laws. So I would basically say, Jesus, how do you want us to vote? Vote for those who would obey the commandments.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, moving right along. We got a piece of, again, it's hard for me to know. It's good news amongst bad news, I guess, Kurt, but it is good news, and we want to talk about it.
Well, yeah, good point, Sam. It looks like New York has basically had its first weekend in 25 years where they didn't have a shooting. And of course, this
so
is
it's
a
great
city
news.
Of 8.5
Don't misunderstand
million.
Me. I'm not saying that it's not good news. It is great news.
Yeah. City of 8.5 million. And, you know, they hats off to all the New Yorkers that didn't kill themselves over the weekend. Right?
New York marks first shooting free weekend in 25 years. That's great news. The reason that great news amongst bad news, though, is I wish this could be every weekend, Kurt.
Right. You got to point out the fact there's 8.5 million people in one city, whereas all of our whole state here, Sam, we got, less than 4 million. So that's one of the things you got to look at, I think. Anyway, hats off to the New Yorkers.
Well, and I hope they can basically, I hope we can promote this enough to where they create copycat weekends.
Yeah.
Right? I only say it's bad news because, I mean, we're celebrating a weekend without shootings. I wish we could celebrate years without shootings. Mm-hmm. Again, it's pro-life, folks. All right, I want to talk about Rand Paul a little bit. And my goal is never to attack, but my goal is to point out something interesting. You know, back in the day, Kurt, we tried to have Richard Mack run in Texas for the Senate, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he lost bad. The House. Oh, was it the House?
Because it was, you know, there's a number of House races, but anyway. Right,
maybe it was the House. I don't know. Anyway. You'd have to look it up. What's that guy's name?
The guy he was running against, I don't know, he was an insider, good boy.
Yeah, you got to look that guy up and see if he's a senator or a House member. Either way, the point that I'm getting at, though, is Richard ran against him, and Richard tried to get the endorsement of Ron Paul. And Richard couldn't get the endorsement. We just couldn't figure out why. It's like, what the heck? Well, it turns out that Ron Paul made a deal to back the incumbents in exchange for support for some other things that he was working on. And at the time, I was pretty disenchanted. I was like, are you kidding me? Of all people to cave Ron Paul. And I agree that it's not the best strategy or the best way to go about it. Although, you know what? To some degree, you got to pay to play. To some degree, you got to give something. Politics is about compromise and exchange and some things. And so I've later realized, I don't know that Ron Paul gave up a lot. He might have thought nobody could win anyways, and I have no choice, but hey, at least I can advance something. I don't know Ron Paul's heart on this, except for everything I've seen from Ron is good. So I'm going to say, I'm going to trust his heart on this. And I'm going to say, you know what, I don't believe he compromised to the negative. I believe he did what needed to be done, and he advanced the cause of liberty the best he could in the circumstances. And the reason that I give him that latitude is because I would want somebody to give me that latitude as well. I might not make a choice that everybody thinks is perfect, but I certainly wouldn't do it with an ill heart or an agenda to lose the upper hand advancing the cause of liberty. I would never do that. And I don't believe Ron Paul would either, personally. So I bring that up because now Rand is doing something which at first glance I just go, are you kidding me? What on earth is he doing? Rand Paul gave a speech at a Trump rally. And there was a lot of people there. And it's a big, long speech, and it's for a guy by the name of Andy Barr. Garland Andy Barr is the guy's name. Here's the start of his speech. Big crowd, huh? Big crowd, I tell you what.
Thank you! Thank you!
Rand Paul saying thank you to everybody.
Thank you! What an amazing crowd. Is Kentucky Trump country? Now, some of you may remember, once upon a time, my first choice for president wasn't Donald J. Trump.
Now, let's be clear. It's kind of funny.
However, I will tell.
It's kind of funny because he was running for president, remember? So I just thought I'd bring that up because,
yes, I
you know,
remember.
Obviously his first choice wasn't Trump. It was himself. Okay, so let's just be clear. That's why it's funny.
You, that he grows on you.
All right, so hold on. Let's get this again.
However, I will tell you that he grows on you. I will also tell you that every day, virtually every day, he exceeds my expectations.
I got to agree with Rand on both points. Trump is far from perfect. I get the critics of Trump, and I agree with a lot of their points. I also agree we got to give credit where credit's due. And hey, did we expect Trump to do as much as he's done? Well, people had hoped that he would, but really, I didn't even expect him to get elected.
Together, as a team with the Republican Congress, we now have not one, but two conservative justices.
All right. So anyway, he goes on. It's about a 10-minute speech. But he promotes this guy. He's there speaking in behalf of keeping this guy in office, backing an incumbent, if you will. And it's Garland, Andy Barr. Now, Kurt said, is he a relative of Bob Barr? And I don't know. Kurt's doing the research. He should have an answer to me on that pretty quick here. But I don't know. All I know is this bar guy in Kentucky, I looked him up to say, hey, how come I don't know about this guy if he's a freedom-loving dude like Rand Paul articulates, huh? Well, I looked up in the John Birch Society. It's called the Freedom Index. And Garland Andy Barr's in the 6th District of Kentucky. and he only has a 55% constitutional rating, Kurt. You want to respond to this?
Well, it's probably 50 points higher than Pelosi, right?
Is that the bar we're looking for, Pelosi?
No. That's the bar. Get it?
Yeah. No, he's the bar, and the bar's low. And Nancy's lower. So if That's we're going to compare and to the worst in could, Congress, he's doing could. Really good. I agree, but I compare to the constitutional 100% rating. And if you say to me, Sam, I don't have a 100% rating, I get it, because there might be some different opinions on what you should do constitutionally. Everybody doesn't agree 100% on everything. So I get if you don't have a perfect record. But when you're at 55%, Kurt, guess who's even higher than him? He's the other senator 40. From Kentucky. Mitch McConnell is even higher than this guy. And so I go, are you kidding me? Now, as far as I understand, Rand Paul's like a 94%. So good for Rand. But why is he backing this guy, Kurt? And I think that the Ron Paul example is the reason. Hey, well, he's backing Trump and this guy. It's far from perfect, Kurt. And at first glance, you could be pretty critical and say, hey, Rand sold out. What's Rand doing? But on second glance, I think we need to be very careful and say, hey, what's the alternative? Is there a constitutional conservative that's really running that would, a constitutional America that could really replace this guy? Or do we risk getting something much worse? As you wisely pointed out right at the start, you said, well, hey, he's probably 50 points above Pelosi. Well, what if they put a Pelosi-esque Kentuckian in there? And so I know we want to vote on the pure standard of the Constitution on what people ought to do and on keeping their oath of office. And I agree with that principle. But I also agree with the idea that, hey, what do you do when you have a district, the 6th district? You got Barr there. He's far from perfect. He's voting way beneath what we think he ought to be. But you might get a worse guy there. Do you back that guy and hope to make him do well? What if you don't believe that there's somebody that can win there? And I mentioned that about Ron Paul. He didn't believe there was a viable candidate to win, so he's like, okay, I'll back the incumbents. Why not? Better than the Democrat side, or better than folks that would vote less. Okay, and so then Rand finishes his speech by talking about the Supreme Court justices we got, and he talks about the tax cuts we got. Now there's a new report that just came out that said, hey, man, you know what? Donald's spending us into oblivion. The deficit's, at an all-time high, 7% up. It hasn't been this high since 2012. The Republicans are spending us into oblivion. That's all true. They need tax cuts and spending cuts that match. They only took the tax cuts and ignored the spending cuts. Shame on them. But at the same time, it's better than it would have been, Kurt. And at the same time, this bar guy might not be as high enough of a bar as I would put forth. But is Rand wrong for backing Donald Trump and Andy Barr at this point? See, I have to step back and say, I don't think so, Kurt. I think it's far from perfect. I agree. But you got to look at the landscape in which we find ourselves, right?
You can tell, I guess you could say, his friends by his enemies. He's got a 0 score from the LGBT rights advocacy organization.
And see, that's pretty good.
Human Rights Campaign.
He's also got some better scores from like Freedom's Works and some gun groups as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And so maybe he's not as bad as we think. Now, I don't like the 55, but here's the question. If they don't back this guy and we don't have a better incumbent, what happens? I'm sorry. If we don't back this guy, we don't have a better candidate, what happens? So if you keep Andy Barr, the next question is this. If we work with him and spend time with him and influence him to go along with Trump and Rand Paul and others, what might his next rating be, Kurt? Might we turn the 55 into an 85? Because maybe the guy just needs education and love and support. And if that's true, I don't think Ron Paul's off target at all. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So I'm not going to criticize Rand Paul. What can we do with folks that are already there? You would say, Sam, that's not draining the swamp. I agree. But again, you got to have people that'll run. You got to have people that have enough money and enough foot soldiers and everything else to actually win. And frankly, I encourage a lot of people not to run because we don't have those things in place. It's not that I don't want them to run. But if we're not careful and we reject the incumbent, we might get a person in there that's got 10% rating because we wanted to back 100% guy that'll never get elected. The Republicans won't back him. Okay, where do you go with that? All right, there's a school database in the news, Kurt. It's a database provider for government school,
yeah.
Right?
The headline from the WorldNet Daily Boys, Bob Unruh's writer, it says, school database provider sued for giving kids porn. A company that provides database resources to public schools, we would say government schools, including pornography embedded in computer files, is being sued by the Thomas More Society under Colorado's Deceptive Trade Practices Act for boasting its products are age-appropriate. Matt Heffron, he's the organization's senior counsel, he said these databases definitely are not age-appropriate, nor can parents consider them reliable. Along with in this lawsuit, it names the Colorado Library Consortium a tax-supported organization that knowingly brokers pornographic databases to schools and libraries. Colorado law makes it illegal to make false claims to sell a product. Anyway, it's good to see some folks are going after this. The information available to students included how to have oral sex, how to have anal sex, and how to have vaginal sex. School's a little different than it used to be, Sam.
Yeah. I don't even know how to respond. It's just a shame, Kurt, that we're even discussing this kind of stuff.
Yep.
But anyway, I'm glad the school database provider was sued for giving kids porn. Bob Unruh, WND.com, delivers again with a great article. Let's talk about the uncivil war, Lowell Ponte. Lowell's an old friend of ours that used to be in radio. We know from a long time. Writes a lot of good stuff, Lowell Ponte.
That's exactly right, Sam. And he says, you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for and what you care about. He's quoting, guess who, Sam? Hillary Clinton, just a few days ago. And he says, what this means, she made clear, is that civility can only return when her Democratic Party again controls the government. If our nation does not elect her or one of her progressive comrades to rule, then those leftists will be justified in using resistance, undemocratic government power, intimidation, and mob violence in a very uncivil war to ruin America. Her statement, Clinton's statement, that is, reflects narcissism on her part, Joel Lowell-Ponte says. She seems unaware that the rest of us see her Democratic Party as wanting to destroy the fundamental values we stand for and care about. Clinton's party now schemes to replace American freedom with slavery and serfdom, free enterprise with socialism, individualism with collectivism, and independent nationhood with submission to a borderless, authoritarian world government. Doesn't sound that great, does it, Sam?
I don't think so. What do you think about Lowell-Ponte, though?
Well, I think he's right on target, Sam. Yeah, don't you think?
Does a good job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate there's more and more people standing up, Kurt, as far as I can see. The uncivil war. I think that's what we're coming to, Kurt. Sadly yeah. to say, and these divisions, I don't think are getting any better at all. All right, Kurt, there's nothing like eating. And I know that people have trouble like getting good food at the airport, Kurt, but somebody has a different plan on this, don't they?
Well, yeah, Sam, the headline reads, officials find roasted pig in luggage at Atlanta airport. I guess the Customs and Border Protection agents and their canine coworker, you know, a dog, discovered something unusual when they looked in a checked luggage back at Hartsfield-Jackson. Guess what they found? Yeah, a cooked pig. I was wondering, do you think the dog sniffed that out even better than he does drugs?
It's BYOF on this thing, right? You're just going, hey, when I go to the airport, things kind of are pretty bad in the food department. And Bring my own pig.
That's right. And this dog is a member of the Beagle Brigade. And it got a smell of something suspicious in a bag of a traveler from Ecuador. When they examined the bag, they found a roasted pig head in the baggage. So that is something we've never been stopped for, Sam.
I hear that, but it made it through the scanners, didn't it, Kurt? You get stopped for bumper stickers promoting there. Liberty News Radio, but pigs go right on through there, buddy.
Good point.
You know, hey, Chicharron, what do you expect?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I guess Trump is now questioning climate change, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. He took a little trip down to visit the recent hurricane down in Florida by Panama City. And while he was down there, you know, he didn't spout the political, you know, insider line, which is really surprising for President Trump. But he was accompanied down there by his wife, Melania, and then the Florida's outgoing Republican governor. They were there, etc. The governor thanked Trump for federal aid, saying that everything the state had asked for had been delivered. Trump, a longtime climate change skeptic,
here's my problem.
Believe. Yes.
Donald Trump said at first it was a hoax. Now he says, well, it's not really a hoax, but I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making it out to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's doubling down and questioning it. What Donald needs to do is explain some things. That, you know what? The climate is changing, Kurt, and it will continue to change as we disobey the commandments of God. And, you know, this idea that man causes it, well, there's some truth. If we disobey God's laws, we cause a lot of the changes that happen. But at the same time, this idea that government needs to control it, that you and I are evil, that we need to have less people on the planet, and all these evil agendas by government and by bureaucrats, for example, isn't the answer. And so I don't appreciate Donald just kind of mentioning something and then waffling on it, but not drilling to the real answers. So I'm kind of concerned about this, Kurt. I agree when Trump questions climate change during hurricane damage tour. But when he waffles like this, again, it's like a lot of these talk show hosts. They point out the right issues, but they don't take you across the finish line, Kurt.
Now, we got to remember that this is, of course, a press report, and so they may have their own little twist about it. But
By the way, if Donald wants to come on the air and kind of flesh it out and clarify it all, he's certainly welcome to do so.
Way down at the end of the story, Sam, I put one of the commenters, and to me, this is more important, basically, the whole story. This guy named John comments about this. He said, he's right. And I think he's talking about President Trump. It says, Pompeii and many other ancient cities have been destroyed by climate change caused by God. The biggest of all natural disasters was the great flood in Genesis.
This commenter is exactly right, but see, Donald needs to make that direct connection.
That's exactly right.
And Donald needs to shut down those people that want to, sow division and force control over all of us on this false narrative. And so Donald's right, but he's got to push to the finish line like this commenter just did.
And he does point out, President Trump does point out, it says, the one that they say was worse, two or three times worse, one was in the 1890s, and one exactly 50 years ago. He says that's what the numbers are. So he could have gone farther there and said, look, so you guys that say that now climate's worse, how do you respond to the idea that it was worse back in the 1890s and then 50 years ago?
It's a fair question.
They wouldn't want to answer that.
Let's use your next headline to make the point, Kurt. Having a larger family. Because they always want to use this global warming to say you can't have kids. It's ruining the planet, all these people. But having a larger family, Kurt.
Well, that's right. This is a headline out of Zurich, Switzerland. Of course, it wouldn't be here in America, but it says having a larger family lowers the odds of developing cancer. And I guess they had some researchers there from the Institute of Evolutionary Medicine of the University of Zurich. They got some data from 178 countries. That's a pretty good batch. Well, they determined that there's a connection between family size and the development of all types of cancer. By the way, Sam, at least to me, this is kind of interesting when you got the guy, Paul Allen, the Microsoft bigwig, kicked the bucket yesterday.
65 years old.
Yeah, and some type of cancer, is never married, no family. Etc. I thought it was kind of an interesting
I'm not saying
connection.
Because he didn't have a family, he died of cancer. No, I don't want to draw that direct connection. But the same time, I want to say that, hey, the whole climate change idea is you can't have kids because it'll ruin the planet. You existing on the planet's ruin the climate. See, I don't believe in those things at all. I think that they're driving a wedge. They're putting government above God, and they're literally controlling all of us. And it's got to stop. And Donald needs to connect the dots.
They say, by the way, that this effect of lower cancer with bigger families was particularly notable in males more than females, they say, which surprises the authors, as previous research showed that a woman's cancer risk drops with every pregnancy. Well, I still think that's accurate. It says, as for why having more children can make families healthier, the researchers suggest that larger families may enjoy a stronger emotional bond and an even more loving, positive environment, which helps to ward off diseases. Additionally, family members tend to push each other to take better care of themselves and often keep a lookout for one another when it comes to health.
And I believe families are the key to happiness. Whether you have a big family or a small family, the goal is to embrace the fundamental unit of society, the family, God's ordained institution, to let people live right and die right and eventually return to Him. Final headline, though, they believe the lottery makes you happy, huh, Kurt?
Well, one guy in Australia won. He accidentally bought two tickets and he won almost $2 million. But when you compare it to Mr. Paul Allen, I guess he was a $20 billion heir or whatever. But you know how much money he's going to take in the casket?
All of it?
He's going to take the same as all of us.
Zero.
Yeah. on the way home.
Yeah, there you go. But the point I want to highlight about this is they want you to believe that it was a happy accident. This is just the panacea. Everybody should hope for this happiness. And I would say everybody should hope for God, family, and country in their lives. And everybody should hope to protect life, liberty, and property. And we should all work together for those ends. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Donate at LibertyRoundtable.com.